Those who harbour secret sins do so at their own peril. It's like holding onto a time bomb. Eventually, the fuse runs out and the shocking news of failure rocks your world. Today on Insightful Living, Chuck Swindoll recounts a sobering story in the Bible that validates this assertion. It's part of his brand new study in the book of Joshua. The plot in Joshua chapters 6 and 7 has some unexpected twists and turns. And if you missed any portion of Chuck's message yesterday, well, we'll begin with a brief summary. Chuck called his message, Postmortem of a Deceiver.
Chapter 6 is all about victory, remarkable, miraculous falling of the walls, surrender of the people, destruction of all of that area, preservation of those sacred things, the burning of everything else. But Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. 3,000 warriors make their move up the hill, and before you know it, they are in a fast retreat down the slope. 36 of the Hebrews' finest are killed in the retreat. You may have made your mark on Jericho. That says nothing about Ai. All is not well, Joshua. There's sin in the camp. 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, this is after they have whittled it down and come to the man. He said to Achan, Achan stands before Joshua, and this dialogue transpires. My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling the truth. Make your confession and tell us what you have done. Don't hide it from me. Achan replied, now I want you to watch closely. It is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Wait, before you're too impressed with an open confession. He didn't volunteer it. He didn't volunteer it. It was demanded of him. He was caught. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins, and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them, and I hid them in the ground beneath the tent, the silver buried deeper than the rest. Look at the verbs. I saw. I wanted, I took, I hid. And you see the raw act of disobedience. I took it. And then, why else would he hide it? Knew it was wrong, so he hid it like every deceiver. He didn't talk about it with his friends. He certainly didn't bring it before God. All of this is done alone by Achan. Slips into his tent, digs up an area, shoves them down there. Quite likely with the family watching. In my study, I came across a page from F.B. Meyer's work on Joshua that made me stop. It's a little bit convoluted for you to hear it, so you'll need to concentrate. It's worth the time. Listen closely to Meyer's analysis of Achan's sin and our sin as well. The princes of Israel passed before them first, and then the prince of Judah was taken. Then the families of Judah and that of the Zarhites was taken. Then the Zarhites and Zabdi was taken, then Carmi, then Achan. How his heart must have stood still as he saw the inevitable closing in of his destiny, like the contracting walls of a chamber of horrors on a hapless victim. But sin is sporadic, Meyer continues. To deal with it thoroughly, hear this well, we need to go back to its parentage, its beginnings. All who have carefully watched the processes of the inner life bear witness that a long period will often intervene between the first germ of sin in a permitted thought or glance of evil and its flower or fruit in its act. We generally deal with the wrong that flames out. We should go behind to the spark as it lay smoldering for hours before, and to the carelessness which left it there. We only awake when the rock disintegrates and threatens to fall upon our cottage roof. He continues. God would lead us back to the moment when a tiny seed born on the breeze, floating through the air, found a lodgment in some crevice of our heart. And although the soil was scanty, succeeded in keeping its foothold till it had struck down its tiny root and gathered strength enough to split the rock which had given welcome. Love that writing. Sin comes in its innocent form, if you will, and it's not yet found root. There's a crevice in the heart. It finds its way in the lodgment of the heart and ultimately puts its root down till it splits the rock. And by this insight into small beginnings, our God would forearm us against catastrophes. What we call sin is the outcome of sin permitted. Days, perhaps weeks before, which in the meanwhile had been gathering strength within the heart. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what you've been looking at. I don't know what crevice is open, nor you with me. So we must judge ourselves, which Achan never did. And when it came time to walk away from the garment, he lingered and imagined himself in it. A man may observe the beauty of another woman, not his wife. There's no sin in observing that she's beautiful, but when she becomes alluring, he's sunk. He's being enticed. And at that moment, as one man puts it, at that moment, Satan does not here fill us with hatred for God, but forgetfulness of God. And our senses become dulled. And the prohibition can't really be that significant. Or I'm not sure that's what Joshua said or God meant. I don't even remember fully what was said. Hear the forgetfulness? The man wants her so much, takes her. She yields, and adultery is born, and the sin is hidden, eating like a cancer on the marriage. This is tough stuff, folks. This isn't ancient Hebrew history. This is today. Whatever the garment may be, or those coins of silver in your pocket, or the bar of gold. Glance, but go on. But Achan didn't go on. He took it. And he hid it. And 36 men died because of it. There are consequences that follow disobedience. We live in a day of consequences. Would that we had those who lead our nation who had the spine to stand for the things of God and call wrong, wrong, and declare truth that cuts through all the garbage of the fog of our culture. Verses like this are neither easy to read or given respect in our day, where many in places of authority are oblivious to sin and soft on crime. So the great care is given that we protect the guilty as we ignore and push away the victim. It's a whole rewriting of God's dictionary. What he says is wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. It'll always be wrong. It's wrong now. It was wrong in the 16th century. It was wrong in the 18th century. It will be wrong in the 26th century. It's wrong. What's right is right. Will be right. Stays right. The standard does not change. Let me show you a verse of scripture I came across in my study. Isaiah 5:20 and following. If you choose not to turn, I'll save you the time. Isaiah 5:20. What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil. That dark is light and light is dark. That bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves as clever. What sorrow for those who are heroes at drinking wine and boast about all the alcohol they can hold. They take bribes to let the wicked go free, and they punish the innocent. Isaiah, 700 years before Christ. Men and women, I have ministered for years, and some of my ministry has been heartbreaking in dealing with situations where sin was covered up, especially because that's my realm. In the realm of ministries, I've watched ministry constituents disillusioned because the leader was a liar, lived a lie, conducted himself or herself in deceit. Everyone believed in her or him till it was exposed, and then it was like the walls came tumbling down. Churches weep around this world as individuals who were once trusted to handle the sacred things and to minister in honesty and truthfulness, only to be exposed as hypocrites. liars. I know you may think this doesn't apply to me. I'm not a pastor. I'm not even an elder. Stop right there. You're in the family. Does it affect your family when one of your members is very sick? Drastically. And perish the thought when one dies. The grief is hard to put into words. We're a family. We are family. We owe it to one another to walk in the light as He is in the light. God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for integrity, honesty. All of this brings me to four very short, strong applications. Short so you'll remember them, strong so they will make an impact. One, take God seriously. He must be honored. He's not our great big friend upstairs. Stop thinking that. If that happens to be your twisted idea of God. He is the sovereign Lord of our lives who determines the day of our conception and the day we breathe our last. He is the sovereign God who gifts us and directs our steps and longs for us to walk in holiness and to honor Him with our every day. Knowing when we will not do so, He is ready to forgive us. That is not a good guy upstairs. That is the one who rules and reigns over us and has every right to do so. Treat Him with respect. Take Him seriously. Hold Him in awe. Reserve awesome for Him. Take God seriously. Second, believe His word. Thankfully, we have the book of God. The mind of God in print. In our language. Believe it. He must be honored. His truth must be obeyed. He doesn't write these things to entertain us or simply inform us. He's hoping to change our lives by this, including my life, which certainly needs to be changed regularly. Brought into alignment with His truth. I live my life under the authority of this book, just as accountable as every one of you. Take God seriously. Believe His word. Third, confess sin quickly. Don't take your cues from the evening news. Don't pay attention to the culture. It's a fog. It's designed to make you feel good or to get you off course. You've done wrong, confess it. First to your inner circle of those nearest you and then to those in the next circle. Confess the sin. Hiding must be rejected in the family of God. Fourth and finally, refuse all hypocrisy. Refuse it. Be who you are. Don't lead anyone to believe something you're not. Correct them if they are beginning to think so. Keep yourself off a pedestal. They may love you and they may respect you. Remind them often how human you are. And you are not the model. Christ is. They're not accountable to you. We all are to Christ. Refuse all hypocrisy because deception must be stopped. It must be stopped. The family of God has endured enough of it. And may purity begin at Stonebriar Community Church. If we're known for nothing else, let's be known for our truthfulness. Let's tell the truth. Let's live the truth. Let's model the truth. Let's uphold the truth. so that God would be glorified and there would be no shocking discovery after the fact that someone lived a lie. I'll never forget standing in front of a large Bible class, over 200 people, having been taught by this doctor of theology teacher, a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, who forfeited the right to teach that class because he had been carrying on an affair with a student in the school where he taught as the chairman of the Bible department. I looked into their faces like I'm looking into yours. There was hardly a dry eye in the place. Several got up, walked out, and I never saw them again at that church, our church, thinking, that's it. I believed in that man. No longer. And the world around us has a field day when that kind of hypocrisy is made known. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong castle. And the offense lingers throughout their lives. Don't think your life doesn't matter. To some people, you are their model. You are the one they quote. You are the one they watch. They believe in you. I'll leave it with you to read verses 24 to 26. But Achan was removed from the camp, and a pile of stones remained to that day. As a reminder of the trouble he brought to the Hebrews. If you're here without Christ, let me tell you, there's no way you can change your habits. That sin life that you have lived is a way of life, and you can no more break it, alter it, improve it than the man in the moon. So the only hope is that you come to the one who can give you recovery, renewal. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are new. Trust in Christ. What hope there is in that. Dear Father, we have walked through this seventh chapter of Joshua in a very dramatic way, and will not soon forget what we have heard. May we never fully forget it. Remind us, Lord, when we see the garment, the silver and the bar of gold, to keep walking on, not to linger, not to rationalize, not to desire it, take it, and hide it. Clean us up, Lord. Where there is hypocrisy, may it stop. Where there is deceit, may it cease. That we might be, for those who still believe, that there are a few churches that honor Christ, that we would be one of them by your grace. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Everyone said, Amen.
Most of the messages we hear on Insight for Living are punctuated with encouragement and inspiration. Today, however, Chuck Swindoll offers a strong warning about the dangers of secret sins. He called this brand new message, Postmortem of a Deceiver. To discover how to receive audio copies of this new 9-part series in Joshua, go to insightfulliving.org.uk. Now, many of our listeners tell us how much they appreciate Chuck's candor. He doesn't sugarcoat the truth, and today's message is a perfect example. And sometimes Chuck helps us understand how to cope with the aftermath of a messy, unwanted situation. He wrote a practical book that's helped countless readers deal with disappointment. It's called What If God Has Other Plans? Whether you're dealing with the loss of a partner, an unwanted illness, or a devastating financial loss, Chuck's book helps you stand on the solid footing of God's Word. To request a copy of What If God Has Other Plans by Chuck Swindoll, go to insightfulliving.org.uk. We are deeply grateful for those who've stepped forward during the summer months to support Insightful Living. Perhaps you have no idea how your gift makes a difference, but we do. Every single day, we hear from grateful listeners who hear Chuck's teaching from all points around the globe, and they tell us how God is using Insightful Living to stimulate their love for God and their walk with Him. In fact, because of your support, Chuck's teaching is translated into 9 languages. So thank you for joining us in an all-out effort to make disciples of Jesus Christ in every part of the region. To make a donation today, go to insightfulliving.org.uk. You can also send a check in the post by writing to Insightful Living UK, P.O. Box 553, Dorking, RH49EU, and you can call us on 0800 787 9364. Find us online at insightfulliving.org.uk. I'm Terry Boyle, inviting you to join us when Chuck Swindoll talks about what to do after you've blown it, on Monday on Insightful Living. Have a great weekend. The preceding message, Postmortem of a Deceiver, was copyrighted in 2022 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.